Thanks a lot. Good morning, everybody. We are very happy to have you here today, and we are also happy to see that you have survived our molecular experience from last night. I hope you have enjoyed the evening a little bit. It was a first step to share with you innovation and how do we deal with innovation from a different perspective. For those new guests here this morning, my name is Markus Held. I'm in charge of the global AgChem business. I'm in this industry for more than 30 years. I've seen a lot of change in AgChem the last 30 years. And I would also say it has been the most exciting period the last 3 to 4 years also in my new job and role for the global AgChem business of BASF. So this is the place where it all started for BASF nearly 100 years ago here in Limburgerhof. That's where our global operations, our global marketing team, our regional structure for the European market, but a lot of our global R&D activities are located. And we felt it's a good opportunity to use this press conference this year to open our doors, to show and explain to you how we are developing our compounds, how R&D is performed, and how it's all coming together, hopefully then down the road with an integrated solution for farmers around the globe. We are very passionate about agriculture, and I'm hoping you get the sense and the impression also from talking to all of my colleagues during the day that we are very serious and we are committed to agriculture as an organization and as representatives of BASF. Now, we'll also talk about farming, the importance of farming as the biggest job on earth. Now, we also believe that agriculture is a very important contributor and factor in providing adequate food, high-quality food at reasonable price. And one of the challenges is clearly that the millions of farmers around the globe, I would call them the unknown heroes very much, are operating their farming operation very often remote and far away from society, and that is creating a few challenges for modern farming, for the way farming is performed these days. And we also hope that with the event here today, we have an opportunity to help bridging some of the gaps that are existing between perception of farming and what really the farmers are doing every day on their and in their operation. Now, obviously, the main driver behind agriculture are the global mega trends, and we firmly believe that innovation is the only tool to keep going to make sure some of the challenges that are coming with the increasing world population of 9 billion people on this planet by 2015, and that's where also the challenges we'll talk about during the day are coming for farming. Now, if we look at the 9 billion number in 2015, 90% of the additional 2 billion people on the planet will live in emerging countries. I think something we have to recognize and to better understand. We will need by 2030 50% more energy than was consumed in 2005. So some significant challenges in terms of energy and availability of energy down the road. We will have about 1.2 billion cars on this planet compared to 620 million cars today. So a major change, obviously, in terms of mobility will come with the population and increased wealth on a global scale. For agriculture, this obviously means that we have to improve productivity, yield, and the environmental footprint in agriculture. So it's really all about improving our productivity and yield on the available land. It's optimizing the available resources currently used in agriculture. But it's also important to recognize and better understand consumer needs in a rapidly changing global environment and tailoring production methods to the local conditions, which are different from India to the U.S., and it's important that we address those different challenges also in our go-to-market approaches and strategies. Now, a couple of words about BASF and this 100-year history. So obviously, BASF was put on the map in agriculture by those two gentlemen, Haber and Bosch. They basically in 1905 changed society mainly by what is called now the Haber-Bosch process. In 1913, the industrial production of Haber-Bosch was implemented. We will celebrate the 100 years of the Haber-Bosch process this year. And in 1914, so nearly 100 years ago, the operation here in Limburgerhof started, and that's why we've also hopefully have a great party next year to celebrate those 100 years. But in addition to partying about the 100 years, I think it's important to recognize that nitrogen is responsible for sustaining roughly 45% of the world population, that today about 500 million tons of nitrogen are produced according to the Haber-Bosch process, and that obviously that outstanding achievement by the Haber-Bosch team and the process implemented on an industrial scale was recognized by the Nobel Prize in 1918. So a lot of history of BASF going back to Haber-Bosch, and really that history is the reason why also we are here today in Limburgerhof. Now, today we will not talk too much about the history. We want to talk about our offering, our strategy, and how are we developing that offering down the road. And there are basically three pillars we will address. The backbone of our business today and in the future is the crop protection business. And this goes in our strategy and path forward beyond fighting insects, pests, or diseases. We believe there is additional needs to optimize farming and operation, and for example, the plant health strategy, where we optimize resource input to improve productivity and yield, was pioneered by BASF and implemented initially in Latin America and in the US, and it's now rolled out in many, many countries around the globe, and in many crops where historically very limited fungicides have been used in the past. We also obviously want to talk about resource and stress management and how can we, with technology and innovation, support farmers to address those needs. And in a more volatile market and environment, we believe that services and risk mitigation tools to make sure farmers are long-term sustainable and successful is an important service and a contribution from BASF and for our strategy. We believe BASF has a very broad expertise, what we call the Verbund. It's a Verbund of technologies, of people, of know-how, and as the largest chemical company in the world, we believe there are some untapped resources which we can do a better job to bring together to the benefit of our operation and of farmers and improving our services on a global level. Well, this thing is awkward. You have to really... Now it's working. So let me start with crop protection. As mentioned before, this will remain the backbone of our strategy and also the vast majority of our planned investments, as we will share with you later this morning. I want to focus on two areas and want to start with herbicides, because the herbicide market is going through a very significant rapid change driven by wheat resistance, especially initially in North America, but it's now becoming a global issue. And some of the existing herbicide programs that were in place for many, many years, basically for 35 years, are not working any longer. I think it's a reality of life, and Mother Nature has been striking back by the development of resistance in many different countries, many different crops against grasses and broadleaf weeds. Now, on the right-hand side of the slide, we have the six mode of action. Now, I don't want to give you now a lecture about those different mode of action. I just want to highlight that we have a very broad portfolio of different mode of actions. That is an important element to manage resistant development in the fields. And I would like to highlight three modes of actions, partly very old, very well-known, and partly changing the landscape and coming to the market very recently. So let's get started with growth regulators. And the one where we are involved, obviously, is dicamba, a 50-year-old product, well-known in many crops, in many countries. but it's obviously used in different programs to address wheat resistance in many different countries on a global level. The second category and mode of action of products I want to talk about is the pigment inhibitors. These are bleaching agents that are used in herbicide programs and in herbicide offerings. And the one we are contributing from that class is Topramazone or Amazone, called in the US, or Impact. And the third one from the herbicide mode of action categories are the cell membrane disruptors, or in short, TPOs, well known in the herbicide programs. And here again, they are increasingly important. And the most recent introduction of VSF is Kixor in many countries and a blockbuster product because of the successful use in wheat-resistant programs in different parts of the world. We believe across all those different six classes of chemistry, BASF has very good offerings to date. And I think it's fair to say we've started with the first herbicide in 1946, and we launched the last novel herbicide, a new mode of action, in 2011. But we have ramped up significantly our research and development efforts for herbicides already 5 years ago, because it became apparent that wheat resistance will transform and will change the market and the requirements for farmers to have additional and new tools to fight wheat resistance is more important than ever before. The second segment I want to talk about very briefly are fungicides, which is clearly perhaps our shining and most successful example from an R&D perspective. And here again, looking at the different mode of actions, we have basically four different modes of actions that are used in fungicide programs. It starts with cell membrane products attacking the cell membranes. So that's basically the triazoles. The second category are the complex 2 process, stopping the complex 2 processes in cell mitochondria. So these are basically the carboxamides such as Boscalid and the recently launched Xemium on a global level. The third category in the fungicide mode of action are products that stop the complex 3 process in the cells, and these are largely the strobilurines. And the fourth category, the oldest one, are multi-site inhibitors like contact fungicides. So in this case here, Metiram, Dicyanon, just to name a few. It's not about the scientific aspects here of these different modes of action. It's how do you use, how do you build a program, and how do you integrate these different modes of action to make sure we have a long-term and sustainable, efficient fungicide in place that is helping farmers to control diseases in the many different crops. That's the trick, that's the art, that's the challenge we face as an industry with farmers around the globe. And just to name a few of those innovative new fungicides like Adexa, Opera, Prioxo, Orquestra, recently launched in Brazil, this gives you a feeling of how important innovations, but also the management of those innovations with different mode of action compounds is for the long-term success of our business, but also for farmers to use those tools efficiently. Now, in order to achieve our long-term objectives we will share at the end of the presentation, we are convinced we need to invest significantly in additional capacity, plants, and resources. And this slide is basically depicting our target for the next couple of years. So from 2013 to 2017, the next 5 years, we are planning to invest on average about 300 million euros annually, or in 5 years accumulated 1.8 billion euros. Now, this is targeted to increase capacity for recently launched successful products such as Xemium and Kixor, but it's also targeted to increase capacity of existing products, whether it's now F500, Pyraclostrobin, Boscalid, but also older products like Dicamba, DMTA, where clearly the global demand for those existing products is rapidly increasing, and we are determined to invest this amount of money to make sure we can meet the the global targets. We will also expand our formulation structure and footprint on a global level, mainly focusing on additional new investments in China, in India, and the project in Russia to make sure we can better service our customers on a global level. And last but not least, as part of our globalization strategy for research and development, we're looking at significant investments in countries like India and an expansion of our R&D facilities in Research Triangle Park in North America. So it's a pretty broad bundle of investment that will keep us busy the next couple of years, and I'm sure it's a justified investment to secure the growth opportunities we see in a dynamically growing market, mainly driven by innovative new solutions. Let me talk very briefly about resource and stress management. And here again, Jürgen Hof will give you a much deeper dive on what do we mean, what are our strategic directions, and how do we want to develop this new area, new opportunity for BASF. From my side, I would just like to give you the three levels and the three buckets we are talking about. So we have established earlier this year a new global business unit called Functional Crop Care. And we are excited about the new opportunity and the path forward to really look at chemistry and biological products and how can we bring those two technology platforms successfully together in order to develop and launch unique and novel solutions focusing on soil management, on seed solutions, and on crop care. And as I mentioned before, Jürgen will give you the detail how we're approaching it. Now, it's a new investment, it's a new operation, and obviously we're a start of what we believe an exciting journey down the road. We are convinced we can only win that race by combining chemistry with this new platform and taking the benefits and the advantages of both of the technologies to make sure that farmers can sustainably improve their productivity and yield on a global scale. And as I mentioned before, Jürgen will give you the detail and our strategy and how we are rolling out this strategy. I want to give you an update on an area we are very excited about with growing potential, plant health. Now, this is here an example now from grapes, since we are close to the grape production here in Germany. We've started with the plant health investment a couple of years ago, as mentioned at the beginning, Latin America and North America, and now we are rolling it out in additional countries and new crops where clearly farmers and consumers are looking for improved quality at reasonable price, and that's where chemistry, and in this case here, fungicides, modern fungicides, are an important contributor to achieve this objective. We are focusing on quality, on appearance, on shape, on size, on color, where clearly consumers are getting more demanding, and this is just one example from many different crops where we are positioning our innovative fungicides under an umbrella brand called Excellence on a global level, not only to fight diseases, whether it's now downy mildew, powdery mildew, or botrytis, but also to enhance the fruit quality and appearance of the crop with some additional benefits for post-harvest properties. And here it's really about the quality of the crop, the harvestability, but also the storageability of crops that have been treated with those fungicides. The second bucket I want to share, an area of focus and investments, are services for risk and farm management. So what do we need? What do we mean with that? We have one example here to share from Brazil. It's a system, a sugarcane planting system we've introduced this year. It's branded AgMusa. And it's really one step to understand how can we help the farmers, the sugarcane farmer in Brazil, to improve his operation by producing the seedling in an automated form, taking it out of the sugar cane plant, producing the seedling, pre-treating the seedling, and then making sure that this pre-treated seedling is healthy, treated with a fungicide and with an insecticide, and it's giving the farmer the opportunity and the platform to simplify his operation, to reduce his input costs, to reduce his operational activities, and making sure that the emergence of that sugarcane seedling is happening without any losses and faster than the conventional way of planting sugarcane. In this case, here, the example from Brazil. It also has benefits in terms of the environmental and sustainable footprint, such as the lower fuel consumption, lower CO2 emissions, and due to the reduced number of passes in the field, less compaction and less erosion in the sugar cane field and planting process. It's one example. I'm sure we'll have a few more to share, and also making progress with really thinking holistically, how can we further support the farmers to improve his operation. The other important example as part of our commitment to sustainability is a clear and long-term strategy and commitment to invest in sustainability. We have developed one tool called AgBalance, a tool that was derived from an eco-efficiency platform developed by BASF in 1996 by Roland Berger. We've basically taken that tool and invested to adapt it to measure biodiversity and make sure that we can use that AgBalance tool in a farming environment to also look at biodiversity as an important contributor to a more sustainable environmental footprint in agriculture. This tool can measure economic, ecological, and societal impact of farming. It has 69 parameters to compare different production technologies, and it's also meant as a support tool for growers to improve their operation. We have done about 20 different pilots in different crops in different parts of the world, and we've seen feedback from customers, from value chain partners, and from growers who really like the opportunity to measure their operational performance, but also getting a direct comparison how they can improve their operation. And you will have the opportunity this afternoon in some of the breakout sessions to better understand how is the tool working, what is our overall strategy, and what do we believe we as a company and an R&D-based organization can contribute to improve our environmental footprint in agriculture. The third bucket I want to talk about are financial services as part of an integrated solution mindset. With significant increased volatility, whether it's now from a currency perspective or from a soft commodity perspective, we believe additional services to manage that volatility is an important element to support our farmers, but also to mitigate risk in volatile markets and countries for BASF. So we've developed financial programs, including price guarantees, which we are basically started initially in the US and in the meantime are rolling out to other parts, other countries, here in this case in Russia and the Ukraine. And we have a nearly 10-year history of managing grain trading and barter business models in Latin America, which is largely in two directions meant to support our customers, to ensure that they know how to trade their commodities, but also for BASF to mitigate risk where we have currency volatility, especially in countries like Brazil and in Argentina. The lifeblood of our strategy is really R&D and the strong commitment and long-term commitment to research and development. On this slide here, we've depicted on the one side the R&D cost and investment development the last couple of years. On average, our R&D funding has increased 7% per year if you look back the last 5 years. And we believe it's a fully justified investment, which is roughly targeted at 9% of our net sales on a global level. So that long-term commitment will remain unchanged because the payback from the investment, but also the opportunity that an innovation-driven company and organization can generate, I think, is fully justifying that investment. We will increase our R&D funding and investment for the next couple of years. So if you look back last 5 years, it was about 1.8 billion euros dedicated only to ag chem research and development. In the future, we expect to increase that number to 2.5 billion euros accumulated for a five-year period. Now, I think a unique differentiator of BASF is the way our R&D platform is structured. We are part of the R&D Verbund. Now, BASF has about 10,500 researchers overall, BASF Group, in research and development. We've invested last year about 1.73 billion euros for research and development, and AgChem is getting about 25% of that bucket, and we believe that that number will continue to increase because of BASF's clear commitment to research and development. We have about 600 corporations with different universities and research organizations around the globe, and for the AgChem market, we have started about 7 years ago what we call an open innovation concept with companies, partners, universities, and it's branded and called Top Science or Top Ciencia in Latin America. We've started initially in Brazil, and we've now rolled out that concept on a broader scale to the global markets because we believe it's important to have own R&D efforts, a long-term commitment, but also an open mind to really interact and look for expertise, for know-how, and for creative thinking outside of BASF to bring the best solutions to the market. That brings me to nearly my final slide and what we would like to announce today, and we are obviously thrilled and excited, is about our revised long-term targets. So the first step is obviously that we will achieve and exceed our initial 2020 target of 6 billion euros already by 2015. Based on the momentum we've enjoyed the last couple of years, but also the pipeline and opportunity we see down the road kicking in. And our new and increased target for 2020 is increased to 8 billion euros. And it's important to recognize that it's not only the top line, but we have a commitment also to profitability, and our target here is to continue targeting an average EBITDA margin of 25% also for the increased 8 billion euro target by 2020. We believe we've made great progress with our strategy, with the innovation, with the pipelines we're bringing to the market, that we're very confident about this increased sales target, which is basically driven by four factors in our strategy. Number one is the commitment to research and the pipeline value, which has been increased to 1.7 billion euro sales, new product launches from 2010 to 2020. The second bucket is obviously the investment in capacity, plant expansion, and new facilities to make sure we have adequate volumes available. The third bucket is the new growth field, functional crop care. Jürgen Huf will talk about this, also about our financial targets. And last but not least, we are continuing to invest in emerging markets, whether it's now in Asia, in Africa, or in Latin America. And we believe midterm, about 50% of our global sales will be generated in those emerging markets based on the technification needs, but also the adoption rate for innovations in emerging markets. And I would just like to close with this final slide. Obviously, BASF has a long history in agriculture, but also a clear commitment to the future. We believe in that success, in our success in the future, driven by a good understanding and a strong focus on farmer needs, on the long-term commitment to innovation and to R&D, but also on the respect for the environment and the respect for future generations. Thank you very much for your attention.